Let's give it up for the Hume team again for another. I like get lost in those videos. I absolutely love the storytelling. Now, if you were paying attention to that video, as soon as things started to get uncomfortable, the people stopped trusting in God's provision. Did you catch that? Like when God's doing all the cool miracles and like Pharaoh and his army and all that, like all this crazy stuff's happening, they're like, yeah, God, you're great, and we're gonna follow you, we're gonna trust you. And then as soon as they're like, wait a minute, like things are a little bit challenging. Things are a little bit difficult. We're in the desert, and where are we going to get our water from? And where are we going to get food from? And all of a sudden, they're like, ooh, I don't know if I could trust God anymore. Like, I'll trust him up to this point, but now that things are difficult. And here's what I've observed. Like, it's sometimes easier for us to trust God with eternity and be like, okay, God, yeah, I'll trust you with my salvation, that you'll rescue me from sin, and I'll give you eternity, but today, like, I don't know if I want to trust you with today because things are a little bit challenging. God, I don't know if you're totally in control. Have you ever had a moment in life where you felt like maybe, just maybe, God wasn't actually in control? I've experienced that. I've had moments where I've thought, I don't know if God actually knows what he's doing. Because from where I sit, what I'm looking at, my perspective, I'm thinking things should be going a little bit differently than they are. And that's what happens with the people of Israel. They're like, hey, yeah, God did all the miracles, but maybe he forgot that we need to eat food to live. Maybe God forgot. Maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe he stopped paying attention that we have to drink water to live. And so Moses, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. So when I was just graduated out of high school, I was dating this girl named Megan. And I was going to this Bible college because I knew I wanted to do youth ministry. So I'm going to Bible college, I'm dating Megan, and I'm working at this church part-time. It was my first kind of like ministry job, part-time, going to Bible college, dating Megan. And I was like super, super spiritual. So I'd climb up to a mountain to pray. Because that's like, you can't get any closer to God than the top of a mountain. So I would climb up this mountain. It was near the college that I was at. And I'd go up there and I would pray. And here's what I would pray. Okay, God, here's my plans. I want you to bless them. I want to do really good at college, and like I'm gonna get like a 4.0 or whatever, and I'm gonna be really smart. And this job that's part-time, God, I want it to be full-time. I'm gonna do student ministry at this church. It's the church that I've grown up at. And God, I wanna marry Megan. And so God, if you could just make all that happen, that'd be great. And so I go and I would pray that prayer to God. I just kind of pour out my heart, pray that prayer. And here's what happened. Out of the blue, Megan's like, hey, I don't think we should date anymore. And she broke up with me. Yeah, you guys had Taylor Swift, right? Like, you guys were doing all the trivia. Yeah, it was like a Taylor Swift song. All of a sudden, my heart's broken. Megan broke up with me. And then the church that I was working at, they restructured the staff, and they decided, we're going to lay off all part-time staff, just across the board. Anybody who's part-time, we're going to let them go. And so they let me go after I had been working there part-time. And at that point, I'd been there for a few years. And like, hey, sorry, you're great and all that, but no more part-time staff. And then I got kicked out of Bible college. I know. It's a long story, but I'll give you just the quick version of it. It's nothing, you're like, ooh, what happened? Nothing too crazy. I just didn't pay him for 2 years. So I went to college. I went to this Bible college on what I call the faith scholarship. Like, God, you want me to go in ministry, and so I'm supposed to go to Bible college, and so I don't have any money. And at that point, I was on my own. I was 18 years old. I was like crashing at friends' houses. My parents had divorced, and my mom was in one place, and my dad was in another, and so I was kind of on my own. And so I didn't know, like, I had to actually like figure out how to pay this school. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to go by faith. And so I signed up for classes, and I lived on campus, and I was on the meal plan, so they would feed me, and I would go to the library and be like, I need these books, put it on my tab. And I would like, and I get the coffee mug with the logo and the sweater and all that. I'm like, just put it on my tab, put it on my tab. And I did this for 2 years, and for some reason, they didn't catch it. And then one day, they pull me out of class, they bring me into the office, they go, Robert, you haven't paid us a dime. And I was like, yeah. I don't have any money. And we just stared awkwardly at each other for like a minute, like, is somebody going to blink? Like, is this, and they're like, you cannot go back to class until you figure out how you're going to pay us. I'm like, I guess I can't go back to class. So I got kicked out of Bible college. And all of this happened in the short amount of time. I eventually paid them. It's okay. So I got kicked out of Bible college. Megan broke up with me, and I got let go from that job. And I was so angry with God. And I was so frustrated. And I started to question in my mind, God, are you even in control? Because from where I sit, my perspective, these were all good things. I don't know if you've ever had that moment where you've been frustrated with God thinking, God, I don't know if you're actually in control of what's going on. Now, fast forward just a little bit in my life from that moment where I'm super angry with God. And then I met this girl named Lindsay. I mentioned her on the first night or first morning I was here. And let me just, as bluntly as I can say this, praise God, Megan broke up with me. Because then I met Lindsay and I went, oh, this is a whole lot better than Megan. Sorry, Megan, if you're out here somewhere. Anyhow, but I was like, yes, this is so much better. And then I ended up going to ASU and studying biology and studying sociology. And my college was actually, because I had good grades and all that, it was actually paid for and I didn't go into further debt. And I actually fell more in love with God studying biology because I got to see his fingerprints all over creation. And I was so excited to be like, man, I thought my faith was going to get rocked. And it turns out my faith grew because I began to see God and just all the different intricacies of how he's created this world. And then this church out of nowhere calls me up and they're like, hey, would you consider coming out here doing student ministry? And the church is called Sun Valley Community Church. And that's the church I've been at now for 17 and a half years. And I am so blessed. And now with all of that information, I look back on the same moments that I was so frustrated, so angry with God, and I just praise him. God, thank you so much that Megan broke up with me and got kicked out of Bible college and that church fired me. You know, like, this is fantastic. What changed? Those circumstances didn't change, but my perspective changed. It's fascinating to me how in the moment, all we can see is the problem right in front of our face. But if you go further down kind of the timeline and you stop for a moment and you look back, you can see God's hand. Have you ever had those moments? Where in the moment, it just seems like chaos and like, God, are you even in control? And then you look in the rearview mirror and you kind of look back and you go, wow, I see how God provided in ways I didn't notice in the moment. I couldn't see it in the moment, but now in hindsight, I can see it. And we don't always have the blessing and the benefit of being able to go, man, I perfectly see how it all worked out, but here's what I want to tell you tonight, and here's what I want to make clear. God is good. Amen. And even in the moments of chaos, when you're like, God, are you even in control? He is in control. God cares for you. God sees you. He knows the situation, and God promises that all things he's going to work for good. Even if you can't see it in the moment, he can be trusted. The Israelites, they couldn't see beyond the moment. All they could see was the need at hand. Exodus 16, verse 2, it says, in the desert, the whole community, all of them, I mean, we're talking like over a million people. I know they couldn't get that many cast for the movie, for the videos, but there was over a million people in the desert. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. How would you like to be the two guys with a million people upset with you? The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. That's how frustrated they were. They were saying, hey, it would be better if we could just go back and that God would just wipe us out with the Egyptians. Like if we could just go back and die there. Here's what they say. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. You could tell they're hungry by the way they're talking. You ever get hangry? There's a million hangry Israelites talking to Moses in this moment. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day, that's important, and gather enough for that day. And so God miraculously provides out in the desert this flaky substance, and the people pick it up and they're like, what is it? Which translates manna in their language. They just called it, what is it? And they're like, hey, this what is it isn't all that bad. hey, have you tried the what is it? You should, oh, wow, I really like what is it? And so they just call it manna, which literally just means what is it? And they go out and they gather it up and they eat what is it each day. And those that try and gather up more, it goes bad and it spoils and it doesn't last for the next day. They only get enough just to sustain them for each and every day. And God does this over and over again each night. And on the sixth day, he gives a double portion and it doesn't go bad so that they can rest on the Sabbath. But each and every day, God says, hey, I'm going to provide. Don't take too much. Don't take too little. Take just enough. And trust me that tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to provide. And take just enough because guess what I'm going to do the day after that? I'm going to provide. And then the day after that, spoiler, guess what he's going to do? He's going to provide. Yeah, so you guys get it. So God says, hey, let me teach you guys how to just rely and how to trust and how to relax here. And can you just trust me with today that I'm going to provide? Can you just trust me in this moment? Don't worry so much about, well, God, how are you going to feed us like 10 days from now? God says, no, worry about today. Don't stress out about tomorrow, next month, a year from now. Just trust me for today. I will provide. And God provides water the same way. Now, here's why sometimes you and I, we want to go, okay, God, I don't know if I can trust you. I need to take control of this like the Israelites did. Where they said, no, I need to gather up more. Here's why we try and take control. We either doubt that God cares. We begin to question, does God even really care about my situation? Or we doubt that he's in control. And let me tell you, God cares. And God, as the word is, sovereign, meaning he is all-powerful and he is in control. Maybe you've heard this poem by William Ernest Henley. The poem's called Invictus. And the line in there, it's just a cool sounding line. He says, I am master of my fate. I am captain of my soul. How many of you have ever heard this poem? Okay, eight of us, cool. I am master of my fate. I am captain of my soul. Here's the problem with that. Not really. Sort of. But by captain, don't imagine you're like the captain of a yacht in a lake. Imagine more like you're clinging to a pool toy in the ocean. It's really more like you could paddle, like you can influence a little bit, but you are in control of so much less than you and I actually want to be in control of, and it's frustrating. Just like if you're clinging to that pool toy, you can't control the tides, you can't control the wind and the waves, and you can't control the weather, and you can't control how many fish are there, and you can't control if there's sharks, you can't control the temperature of the water, you can't control any of those things. And that's kind of how life is. And so it gets scary, and sometimes it gets uncomfortable, and go, God, I don't know if I can actually trust you because things are a little bit crazy. Let me tell you some of the things you don't have control over, and don't worry if you're like, I'm getting anxiety right now. We'll get to the good part. You are not in control over where or when you were born. Do you know that? You had no control over that. And that's a big part of life. I remember years ago, I met this guy. He was born right around the same time that I was. And he was born in Sudan during Civil War. And his parents were killed. And he, along with thousands of other children, refugees were off in the wilderness hiding so that they didn't get brought and forced to fight in the Civil War for one of the armies. And so they're traveling through the wilderness and their friends are dying of starvation. They're being eaten by animals. And he's telling stories about how he had to bury some of his friends as a kid. And I'm thinking, man, we were born the same time, but in two very different places. We have no control over that. There's so many things that are out of our control. Sickness is not within our control. Sometimes you just get sick. That happens. Natural disasters, other people's free will. You cannot control your friends. You might influence them. You can't control other people. You can't control parents, neighbors, siblings. We have influence, but we don't have control. And the more we realize we can't control, the harder we try and control everything. You realize we do that? I saw this documentary, and it was about this guy, and he's catching this monkey. And the way he does it is there's this big termite mound, and he cuts this hole into it just big enough for the monkey's hand to fit inside, and he puts some food in there, and he just steps back, and he lets the monkey see him put the food in there, and he steps back, and he gets a safe distance, and he waits, and the monkey goes over, and it sticks its hand in there, and it grabs the food, and when it does, it makes a fist. And when it makes the fist, it no longer can fit it back outside. And the man just gingerly starts walking up, and the monkey sees him coming. And the monkey starts to panic, and so he starts trying to pull out even harder. And as this guy's coming, he's like, he's doing everything he can, but he's gripping that food for dear life. He's trying to control, and the more he tries to control, the more he is trapped. And the guy walks up, and he takes this little leash thing, and he just puts it over the monkey. And the monkey's freaking out the whole time, but the monkey will not let go of control. And he just captures this monkey. And I remember watching that going, what a stupid monkey. It has to be one of the dumbest animals ever. And then I realized, wait a minute. I'm just like that monkey. I try and control things. And the more I try and control it, the more I realize I'm not in control. So I try even harder. And I actually end up more trapped with anxiety throughout my life. I have personally struggled with anxiety and anxiety attacks. And as I've gone to counseling, and as I've spent a ton of money on counselors, by the way, and working through all this, it turns out that I'm actually not in control of all these things that I want to be in control of. And when we try and control things that we're not actually in control of, it leads to more and more anxiety. And here's one of the observations I have of students, working with students in Arizona and around the country. You guys are dealing with a ton of anxiety. And if you're like, yeah, every generation, you guys, I'm just telling you, you guys are dealing with it more than I've seen in my generation and generations after my generation. You guys are in a unique situation, and here's why. I think social media puts a giant magnifying glass over control and lack of control. Social media, so much, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to control our image. We're trying to control how other people perceive us. And you know what's really frustrating about social media? It looks like everybody else is in control. Everybody else's lives, man, they seem like they're going really well and everything looks so good and everything's so amazing. And look at their trip that they just took to, so, you know, they went to this place and man, they look great and the lighting's perfect, you know? And then we're trying to control all these things and we can't control it and our anxiety's just going through the roof. And I see it, it's just causing us to try and control even more. And the more we try and control, the more we actually end up trapped. So Jesus has some words of wisdom that I want to share with us tonight, specifically on this topic of control, of anxiety. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is after he talks about things that we get devoted to and we get distracted by. He says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." So I'm going to pause there for a second. If you've ever you ever been upset and somebody just says, "Hey, don't be upset." That doesn't work, right? You get angry, "Hey, don't be angry." Oh, okay. To tell somebody who's dealing with anxiety or worry to be like, "Hey, you should just not do that." It's so not helpful. Luckily, Jesus doesn't end the sentence there, but he does start. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." And now he's going to give the why. He's going to give some more specifics. He says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" I think the number one thing Jesus would say, if he were talking just one-on-one with you, you're dealing with worry, anxiety, trying to control things, he'd say, "Hey, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay." And then he explains why. He says, "Look at the birds of the air." And he doesn't have ADD. He's not talking to you, "Oh, look, a bird." He's making a point here. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And then he asks this question, "Are you not much more valuable than they?" It's kind of a rhetorical question. I'll answer it. The answer is yes, you are. How do I know that? The value is the price somebody is willing to pay for something, and Jesus gave his life for you. You are so valuable. God is so much more concerned for you than he is for birds. So what do? We breathe, and we remember God loves us, that God cares for us, that we're valuable. I think for a lot of us, the problem's not that we don't love God enough. The problem is we don't realize how much he loves us. God's crazy about us. Then Jesus asked this question, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? I'm gonna answer that for you. The answer is no. Worry does not add hours to your life. It actually takes hours away, studies show. Worry is when, here's what worry is. It's looking at a possible future and trying to figure it out and control it. That's what worry and anxiety is. It's things that haven't actually happened. It's things that could happen, and so we're concerned, well, what if this happens, and if that happens, how am I going to react, and what am I going to do about it? But it's not actually living in the world of reality. Reality is you are here right now in the moment that you are living in, and God loves you right now in this moment, and he cares for you more than he cares for birds. He cares for you so much. He sees what you cannot see. He has so much more perspective, and he loves you, and he cares for you. That's reality. That's the truth. Jesus says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? I'm not gonna ask how many of us here worry about clothes, but why do you worry about clothes, he says? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. A couple years ago, I was in Israel, and I took this picture just on my cell phone. This is right near where Jesus is teaching this. Just down the hill from where I took this. And I had never been to Israel this time of year. I'd been there several times before. And this hill in particular, it's always just desolate and like desert and dead. And I happened to be there at the end of winter. And I took this picture. It was beautiful. There were wildflowers and poppies and all of these, all over this. And Jesus says, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God takes care of the fields and the lilies. And doesn't God care more for you? Verse 30 says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Can you hear him reminding us of Israel in the desert? Can you hear the echoes of Moses and the Exodus and this moment that we just read as Jesus is going, hey, don't worry about all those things, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says, why are you trying to control everything? You're behaving like one who doesn't even believe in God. What if instead we focused on what we could control? Jesus is about to tell us what we can control. You ready? You can't control your feelings. I understand anxiety for me personally. It just shows up when it shows up. I can't control it always. I'm like, I want to control that. I don't want to have those anxiety attacks. Sometimes it just shows up. But here's what I can control. I can control what I focus on. I can't control my feelings. I can't control. Emotions are emotions. What you feel is what you feel in that moment. That's just reality. You can't control your feelings. Your feelings will be your feelings, but you can control your focus. And so here's what Jesus says to do. He gives us the prescription right here. Verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says, focus right here on what is true, what is good, what is real, what is right. Seek first God's kingdom. Don't get stressed out about all the what ifs and all these other things and what do other people think and all that. No. Change your focus. Instead of focusing on the problem, which is what the Israelites were doing, we just see the problem. Look at the bigger picture. God is in control. When I was a student, a speaker at Hume Lake showed me this illustration. I mean, it wasn't just like me and him. It was like hundreds of us and him. But he stood up and he said, hey, let me show you a timeline of your life. This rope represents your life. And right here, there's a little red part at the end, if you can see that. And this spot right here, this is the beginning of your timeline. This is your birth date. I don't know if you guys have seen the cemetery walking around campus or whatever. There's like a really old cemetery. And like, I was kind of like morbid. I'm like, I'm going to read those headstones. So I did. I don't know if I was allowed to, but I did. And all of those headstones, the ones that you can see, some of them are like washed out. They have a date on there, and it's a birth date. And then there's another date on there, and that's the date that person died. And then there's a little dash. It's like a little, the easiest part to carve out of that stone. And that dash represents this entire red part of this rope. And all of us, we have a beginning date, and all of us, we will have a date that we die. And at some point, a dash will represent this entire red part right here. But the Bible teaches that this end is not the end. That yes, you and I have a beginning, but everybody spends eternity somewhere, that you and I are eternal souls. Imagine this rope just goes on forever and ever and ever. It doesn't, it ends eventually in there. But just imagine it just goes on forever and ever and ever. This is a timeline of your life. And here's what we do. All we can see, all we can focus on is this EB part right here. And so we get so concerned and so anxious and so worried about this part, but there is so much more to life. And God's saying, hey, seek first his kingdom. Realize that when you seek first God's kingdom, you are investing your attention, your time, your energy into something that matters forever. All the things we get stressed out and worried about and all that, most of those things in the grand scheme of things really aren't that big of a deal. In light of eternity, in light of the big picture of what God is doing, if we could just zoom out for a moment and get this kind of perspective, it would change the way we live our lives. When I was a student in high school, I met a guy named Jeff, and Jeff was a pro baseball player. And then he became a coach. He became a strength conditioning coach and a hitting coach. And in fact, he coached for the Diamondbacks and a bunch of other teams. And Jeff's part of our church, and he's been a part of our church for over a decade, and we do these devotionals in the morning, and I wanted to share just a little bit of his devotional from just a few weeks ago that he shared with our church. Take a look at this, if we have it. Maybe.
Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep on praying. Keep on preaching. Keep on giving. Keep on serving. It's not in vain. The world may not recognize it. Sometimes the church doesn't recognize it, but God does. Jesus Christ is that hope. The world can offer us hope and at times can deliver. If someone is in need of water, well, they can put hope in someone to give them water. But, you know, it's easy to give hope in the face of life. Jesus Christ gives us hope in the face of death. So where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? When we receive Christ, it's no more, death is not hovering over us saying, well, what's going to happen when I die? Or where am I going when I die? Well, we know where we're going. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's what Paul says. That's why we have this victory. And for us to stand firm, to be immovable, to keep giving, keep serving, keep abounding in the good work of the Lord, and knowing that it's not in vain. Jesus is coming back again, and he will take his church. He will take the perished bodies and make them imperishable. He will take the mortal bodies and make them immortal. And, you know, we can get into the ins and outs of it, but we just know that it's going to happen. And Paul says we should have victory and stand firm in that and always give the Lord praise. Amen. Amen. I love the Lord. I love the way Paul shared this letter.
So Jeff made this video just a few weeks ago, and we sent it out to our church. We do that Monday through Friday. We send out these little devotionals and some of the staff and some of our volunteers. And so Jeff made that video a few weeks ago just talking about the hope that we have in eternity. And then last week, I got a phone call that just unexpectedly, Jeff didn't wake up. And I went back and I watched this devotional that he did. And guys, it's so good. And it's so true. We get so worked up about these moments. And Jeff, he had a bigger picture. He had a bigger vision of what God is doing. He went, man, anything that we face in this life, it's gravy compared to the rest of this. You realize that? Any troubles, Paul, who experienced all kinds of troubles, Paul in your Bible, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He was shipwrecked multiple times. People tried murdering him multiple times. He was beaten. They threw rocks at him until they thought he was dead, dragged him outside of a city. He was in prison. And you know what he says about all the suffering that he experienced? He says, these light momentary afflictions are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And Paul had a moment in his life where God gave him a glimpse of heaven. It's kind of this obscure passage, but he got this picture of eternity. And then after that moment, he's like, yeah, I'm not afraid of whatever this world's going to throw at me because I see the bigger picture. The reason you and I, we can have hope in the midst of chaos, even though things get difficult and challenging, we can trust God, is because God is in control. And even though there's times that you and I, we're not in control, we can trust the one who is. And we can know that in the grand scheme of life, one day we're gonna have so much more perspective than we have right now. And we're gonna be able to look back from this point here, and we're gonna look back on our lives and go, man, I was so anxious about those things. I was so worried about those things, and yet God was in control. Revelation 21, it's my favorite chapter of the Bible. There's a vision of what's to come for all believers, and there's an end to sin, sorrow, and death. And Jesus says, behold, I'm making all things new. There'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more shame. All of that is gonna be done with. And I believe if Jeff were here right now having a conversation from his perspective in eternity, he'd be going, guys, God's in control. Life is short. Bible says it's like a mist. It's just here and then it's gone. But through faith in Jesus, we have nothing to fear. Right now, right where you are, God loves you. You don't need to worry. Through faith in Jesus, this is the closest to hell you will ever get. Through faith in Jesus. I was dealing with anxiety around my kids. I told you I went to see lots of counselors and paid a lot of money, and I'm giving you all this for free. And you're welcome. And I was dealing with anxiety about my kids and like, if something happened to me, what would happen to my kids? And what about their future and all that? I'm talking to this counselor and he asked me this question. He says, have you talked to God about this? Guys, I'm a pastor. Like I am a professional talker to God. And I had to look at this counselor and be like, no, I haven't. I've been too busy worrying about controlling everything that I haven't thought to pause. And instead of just clinging to it to go, okay, God, I'm just gonna trust you with it. God, I'm gonna trust you with all the things that I can't control, which is a lot. And God, I'm gonna choose instead just to focus on what I can control right here today and to live in this moment and to seek first your kingdom. And I began to pray for my kids and began to pray for those things that would bring anxiety. And guess what happened? Started to be freed from the anxiety. Yeah. So here's what I want to do right now. Some of you right now in this moment, you have that thing in your mind that you're anxious about. Maybe it's multiple things that you're anxious about, you're worried about. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. And I'm going to ask that you would just, in a posture of submission, if that's you, if you would just open up your hands right where you're at to God. And I want to pray for the peace of God to reign in your hearts. And that we would take the words of Jesus seriously and we would apply these things, that we would talk to God about these things. So as I'm praying for you, whatever that thing is that you've been clinging to, that you've been trying to control, would you just in your own heart and mind, would you just talk to God and would you just be real with him and release whatever that is? Father, for each person here, God, we all, you know each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. God, you know the things that we wrestle with. You know the things that we try and control deep in our hearts, the things that we are anxious over, the things that we worry about. God, you know all of those things. So God, we pause right now and we take a breath. God, remind us that you are in control. God, that you have a perspective that we don't have. You see all things. You know all things. God, you've promised to work all things, even the bad things that happen in life. You've promised to work all things for good. God, we trust you with that. God, with the things that we've tried to control, we release them to you right now in this moment. God, you know what we worry about, and God, you know why we worry about it. And so, God, we ask that as you take these things that we can't control, and God, You just be the one who's in control of it. And God, I pray that your peace would come in and it would replace that worry and that anxiety. God, that your presence would reign. God, that we would choose to change our focus. God, that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And God, we would trust you with all the other things. God, may you be glorified in our lives. God, may you bring peace. May you be the Prince of Peace, the God of peace, the God who provides peace for each and every one of us. And may we experience the freedom of following you wholeheartedly and the peace that comes with knowing that you're in control. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.